This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
Hey, it's Glenn, and I want to remind you, peace of mind is tough to come by these days unless you have a Liberty Safe. With a Liberty Safe, you won't worry when you leave the house because you'll know your valuables are protected. And right now, you can get free delivery to your home on any Liberty Safe. Go to LibertySafe.com for factory direct pricing. LibertySafe.com, made in the USA, lifetime warranty, and peace of mind. LibertySafe.com.
Welcome to Pat and Stu, minus Pat, minus Stu. Weird how it works, but that's the way it is.
Jeffy?
Dan.
Hi.
Dan? Jeffy, doing Pat and Stu. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Well, that was an awkward introduction.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. We're filling in for him.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Normally, I am Glenn's head writer, which is a super fancy title for something that's really not that fancy at all. But happy to be here filling in with you, Jeffy, and I mean that. I really do.
I almost believe that.
You know, I wanted to say this at the beginning. You know, Jeffy, they tend to make fun of Jeffy on this show. They tend to kind of poke fun at you for lots of things, like being
makes me sad.
Fat or whatever else they say, you know, dumb, you know, maybe
evil.
Is kind of the illusion, evil. And I disagree. I agree with the fat part,
I agree with that. I agree with that. You agree with all of it pretty soon?
The thing that people don't know about Jeffy is that Jeffy actually is quite talented in some ways. And I recall, do you remember, I wanted to do a segment, by the way, can do this once a day, maybe to end the show, is a classic Glenn Beck bit, because Jeffy was there from day one. When Glenn started his talk radio program, and I still remember, I'll never forget the look Jeffy gave the very first break that Glenn did on the air. So Glenn does something.
He can't either.
And Jeffy's just standing there running the board, and you know Jeffy's job was to hit the transition into the break, and Glenn finishes his monologue and points to Jeffy back in the booth.
Horrible.
And Jeffy just stands there and stares for an awkward maybe 5 seconds, and then just goes.
Doing this stupid bit.
And he shakes his head and just
so
then hits the button. And Glenn's
so
just
horrific.
Like, what?
I could not believe that I had something to do with this show.
But one of my favorite bits of all time that Glenn did was a live on-air abortion. He was doing this program where he was just going off on abortion, really passionate.
Good.
And then he decided he was going to air the first ever actual abortion.
We argued whether we shouldn't. You know,
right.
Do we want to actually air the live one? Should we air the whole thing? Do we air just part of it?
And we need to tell this story later in the week. But Jeffy played a key role in the execution of that bit, which was just absolutely fantastic. So maybe we can do like a little throwback at the end of every show
that.
Here.
I love that.
Back in
Glenn
the old school days.
I mean, he definitely remembers the first time when I was just running the board for him engineering that because it was bad.
First of all,
the bit was bad. It's horrific. He'll even admit that. And then I just couldn't take it. I couldn't believe that I was with this guy. And he finally gets out of the bit. Go.
Stares at him. And Glenn's a Nazi on that time, too. Like, he likes it to be, like, right in. Like, if you listen to the radio, like, it's real tight. You know, he ends, boom, right in. And Jeffy just sits there and just waits 4 seconds. And boom, then out. But all right, so we've got that out of the way. Let's start with just a quick, on the NBA Finals last night. This is not a sports program.
But I wanted to talk to him today. He's in New York. I didn't get a chance to tell him the exciting news that I read this weekend. And I could not. All I thought of was him. Because he loves LeBron.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my text does not blow up during every one of these Golden State games, and he's just texting going, oh, my gosh, did you hear what they said?
He's got 50 shots. The guy takes 80 shots, but all we can talk about is the 20 points.
Yeah.
I got it.
That's true. Are you a LeBron fan, or are you?
Really.
You don't really care?
I don't really care much, but the only reason I'm a minor fan is because Stu hates him so much.
I don't think Stu hates him, and I think this is the case with a lot of people. I don't think, because I don't necessarily you know, other than his shenanigans, you know, like the choice and all that stuff, where he's a little bit self-aggrandizing. But I mean, he is a great player. But the problem is the hype surrounding him is so ridiculous. It's constantly compared to Jordan. Which, you know, Jordan, remember that time he lost in the NBA final?
Oh, no, wait.
He went 6-for-6, actually.
Remember that time he missed those shots in the clutch?
At the end of the game,
Oh, wait. No.
Yeah.
No, but I don't remember those.
But now what they're saying now is Golden State won. LeBron's team is now down 3-2, and Golden State looks like they're going to probably close it out.
It's looking rough. LeBron's got the...
He hurt his little head banging into a camera on the sidelines.
I don't know if we have footage.
Players down.
I don't know if we have footage of that, but he looked like he purposely jumped into the camera. I agree with Bogut, the guy who fouled him. He fouled him hard, and he said, "I think he jumped into the cameras on purpose because he wants to, you know, make a show of it all." Because he lands on the sideline and then just jumps straight left, and he goes flying into the camera.
You can't control yourself when you're hit like that, when you're fouled.
No, not when you're LeBron James and you're 6'8" and 260 pounds of pure muscle. No,
you can't control yourself.
No, you can't control yourself. But there's this talk that they're going to give him the MVP.
Well,
if they lose the series, which has only ever happened one time, that was in 1969 when Jerry West got it. When the Celtics beat the Lakers, Bill Russell should have got it. But for some reason, they gave it to Jerry. But back then, it wasn't that big of a deal. Like, they mailed it to him in the mail. Like, you know, hey, he got like a message in the mail. Like, hey, did you know you won the MVP? And he's probably like,
congratulations,
oh, fantastic, we lost the finals. This is great, thanks.
Right.
But now they'll have to do. They announce it in the stadium.
Yeah.
And he'll be on the stage, so it'll be in Golden State. So if Golden State wins this game, you're going to have LeBron.
Well, it'd almost be worth it for him to win it.
Oh, and he probably cares about that more than actually winning the series.
It'd be fun to watch the crowd boo.
Oh, gosh.
Golden State, the team turn their back on him.
Oh, man.
During the presentation.
Well, they've already been making fun of him. Because LeBron's, the big joke on him is everyone's like, LeBroning, and it's like you fall down, just the minor, the smallest bump, you just go flying down. Kids, a couple high school kids do it. Yeah. Yeah, but the Warriors were making fun of him on the court. Andre Iguodala like got fouled hard, and he's holding his arm like, oh, and then just laughs. So they're already taunting him on the court. But I mean,
they can't do that.
I don't know how you can give him the MVP when you lose the series.
You can't. I would say no. And even to the year, I didn't know about the 69 Jerry West. I would say no to that one as well.
No.
That's no. You lose, you don't get to be the MVP.
No.
You played a great series, but you lost.
You lost.
You were great. You lost.
There's a reason why none of the great players on crappy teams ever get the MVPs.
Right.
It never happens. I mean, Dominique Wilkins, how many great years did he have? I don't think he ever got an MVP. I mean, you could rattle off all kinds of great players, and there might be a few exceptions to the rule where one guy, you know, went absolutely crazy, and it was just so much better than everyone. But all of those guys on crappy teams would easily be the, quote, most valuable player because there's nobody else good on their team.
Yeah.
So, but they don't get it because they don't win. So you have to, you know, to be valuable, you have to actually win something. And so I just don't see how they could do it. But the press is just falling in love with LeBron. They love him. I mean, the guy.
I saw one article on, I think it was Friday. I think it was even before. It was early, talking about, you know, if LeBron loses, I'm usually against losing teams having the MVP, but I think I'm for it now with LeBron. And then it's just been an onslaught all weekend long.
Oh, they love him. I mean, the guy flashed his junk on national television.
That wasn't his fault.
It wasn't his fault?
That wasn't his fault.
Come on.
And first of all, I looked and looked. It's tough to see. Okay.
Well, that said something.
I looked and looked to try to figure out what everybody is so upset about.
You looked.
I can't tell you how many times I looked at that video trying to figure out what the heck is going on.
Can we reset that? You looked and looked?
I did. I looked.
You kept rewinding it back and looked and looked for LeBron's
junk. I was sliding back. What are people looking at? Why are they so upset? You barely see anything.
But I played basketball, and so I understand what he was doing. But the way he did it, I mean, come on. You know every camera's on you, and he pulled that thing all the way down. That was not. I mean, that was on purpose.
So you're saying that LeBron was LeBroning?
I think he was LeBron. I think he was trying to look. I mean, look, what was the hashtag that went crazy after that? LeBron's penis.
Yeah.
LeBron's penis, and it just went. I think somebody signed up for the Twitter account. They took it. They just start tweeting it out. He stole the show. He stole the show.
It did do that.
But that's ridiculous. But I mean, how do you show your junk on there and everybody still loves you? And then you miss four. I think he's missed 93 shots in this series so far. 93 shots.
The ones he's made.
Power. I've never been a huge fan. I think one of the things that irks me is that I've never been a huge fan of just his, the style of his game. It's it, like Jordan was an artist, right?
No question.
Like you'd watch Jordan.
So
and
was
he
Magic.
Would just, yeah, they would make
so
these
was
moves.
Larry Bird even.
Yeah,
I mean,
they
those guys were
talent.
No question.
Like just moves. LeBron is the way he's talented is that he's just a freak of nature of an athlete. Like he's so much bigger and stronger and faster than everybody. It's kind of like Wilt Chamberlain. Like Wilt Chamberlain is great because of the numbers he put up, but I think people recognize the reason he was better than everybody else was because he was
25 feet tall.
Yes, he was 25 feet tall, and he was playing with a bunch of kindergartners. I mean, you know, how could you not score 50 points
Magic,
a game?
I got to tell you though, I've watched Magic play even in high school, and man, that guy was Magic forever.
Yeah.
Always, man.
Yeah. And so, but those guys were artists. And you know, you watch Jordan and he would just carve up a team. And the moves were like LeBron just goes in. They're like, he got a triple double. You know how he gets half his rebounds? I want to see somebody chart his rebounds. But he drives in and bricks a layup horribly. And everyone falls down off of him because he's so big and strong. And then he gets the rebound and puts it back up. That is not a great play. That's just.
It's getting the stats.
He doesn't have a move. He just puts his head down and runs in straight. Or he just chucks a long shot, which he shoots a lot of horrible
Well, my friend,
bricks.
You're going to be singing a different tune when he wins the MVP to the championship, okay?
Oh, gosh. If I could see, this is the only scenario that I could possibly see it happening, is, and I would be maybe okay with it, is if it goes to seven games and he puts up another two monster games where maybe he doesn't shoot 11 for 40 like he has been every other game, and he puts up 45 points and it goes to seven and they almost win. Like, okay. I'll give it to you then. But if you lose in six.
Maybe.
And you only squeaked out a couple wins.
But
one overtime.
My argument to that is still no, you lost. Really, I don't.
You lose.
You lost.
You should
not get in the MVP.
And you showed your junk. You showed America your junk. We just didn't need to see that. It was just something that nobody wanted.
Is there a video that I didn't see?
Do we have it? Does anybody have it?
Is there a video that I didn't see? Because the one I looked at and looked at, you couldn't see anything.
Well, there was the ticker right above it. Like the
right,
and then not that I looked for it. At
no,
all,
of course not. No, I'm not saying that you looked at all. I'm saying me. I did. I looked.
The video I saw, it was, you know, it was pretty clear.
I got there was some other videos then.
And I mean, I don't. I don't think we need to.
No, we
I don't think we
can
explore the issue any farther. I think
no, that's we can move on. If
the matter is settled,
we can say that we, you know. We could talk about our girl in Washington.
Yes, I think we should move on.
I love her.
I think we should move on from LeBron's penis and go on to another fraud.
I have got to see the video now if you're calling him a fraud.
Well, I'm not saying he's a fraud. No, wait a minute. You're tying two things together that I didn't tie together. Hold on a minute. I did not tie that together with it. I'm not talking about his junk as fraudulent in any way, shape. I'm talking about his game,
okay.
Jeffy. I'm talking about his game. You are a hard... Now, see, I take everything back I said at the beginning of the program.
No,
you are
no.
A horrible human being.
So, if you don't know already, in Spokane, Washington... Spokane?
Who cares?
The NAACP, Rachel Dolezal... She was their leader. I guess still is, really.
She's making a statement tonight.
Yeah, they've got their big meeting tonight, right? Yeah. From 7 to, which is mid-afternoon our time, right?
I'll be waiting for that.
O'clock.
I don't know about you, but I'm going to be sitting by my
computer. There should be a live press conference.
Computer, yes.
No problem. She has falsely portrayed herself as a black person for a while now, just because that's what I feel like.
Yeah, she's.
I'm identifying with black people.
She's been the head of this local chapter in Spokane, and there she is. And she's been making all kinds of claims and saying there's been discrimination, and she's like gone in and filed police reports. And her parents apparently became concerned because she's not black. Her parents are white, and they said we're getting concerned about what she's doing here because she's just not. Look there, look at that side by side. There she is, before she changed her hairstyle, and she could not be any whiter.
Well, you see, the girl on the right is starting to turn black.
That's a shit.
Oh, those are freckles. Never mind.
That's a shadow from the tree branch or something. I mean, that's not even close.
No,
but what she has said now, her excuse. Do we have the? Can we play the? They've called her out on it. Do we have the?
The original calling out was great.
Do we have a clip of that, or is that just? Yeah. Let's roll that. Let's see what that.
Would you identify yourself as an African American?
I actually don't like the term African American. I prefer Black. And I would say that if I was asked, I would definitely say that yes, I do consider myself to be Black. And that's because, that's how I identify. If somebody needs to, again, like I said, do a DNA test or maybe think about W.B. Du Bois that said race is usually biological. Always cultural.
Usually biological. So now, I want to make sure that I understand her logic correctly. Now, look at that. Could she be anyone? I mean, this is the whitest white person in history, and she's saying that she's. Can I now identify and just say, like, if I'm applying for a job or something, and they're looking to fill, a minority portion, and they're going to put an elevated weight on that application. Can I just put that I identify as Black?
Yes.
You can't call me out on that. That's just how I identify, because sometimes it's cultural.
I think that's where they first started recognizing that there might be an issue, though, right, is because she filled out an application for the ombudsman, I think it was, I'm pretty sure, and she checked them all. She checked African-American, Hispanic, white, and
she's LBGT, yeah. QRS, LMNOP, she's all of them.
Yeah. Okay. And I thought, well, that's not bad. Hell, I might do that.
Really?
Filling out an application. I might see, if they're asking me, are you African-American, white, Hispanic? Yes, I'm all of those.
But why? Well, you're doing it out of spite, though.
Yes, I am doing it because what does it matter?
She's doing it because she thinks
she's going to gain an advantage.
And she's just seeing which one will stick. Maybe she identifies with all of them.
Well, and, apparently her parents had adopted 3 or 4 African-American kids when she was a little kid. And so that's when she started identifying as being a Black person. Dan.
So did she turn Black after they adopted? Did it just?
Yes.
Did it just happen?
She started
Did she switch?
To identify with them. It was mostly cultural.
See, this is the problem, because the Federalist did a nice piece on, which, of course, progressives started lambasting it, but saying that, is Caitlyn Jenner really, a woman? Because this identity thing, it all boils down to this. You just identify with. Like, we're denying reality. Forget about the reality that's staring you in the face. You can just pick and choose whatever you want to be, and everyone's totally cool with that.
Right.
Because transgender is defined, and look, I get it. I don't get it, but, I understand that you may be struggling with that feeling, but to just identify, change your sex based on identification, the definition of transgender is something like your identity conflicts with your assigned sex. Or gender. Your assigned gender.
Right.
So I can understand how that's an issue, but if you have an assigned gender, I mean, how do you just get to switch it? And if you have an assigned race, you were just born into a particular race. If you identify with a different one, you don't just get to switch it.
Well, you do if you make clear that what you are, gender-wise, race-wise, whatever, you get to choose, and you start putting each one in a section. Each one in a compartment. So everything is compartmentalized. So I can be Black. I can be born what you would call a male and decide, nope, I'm a female. Today, I'm a Black female. And you have to live with it, right? I mean, that's their deal. That's the way it has to be. I get
so
to
you're
choose
saying officially
whatever I
check
want.
It and then don't, but you can't be flip-flopping back and forth.
Well, you can
times.
Flip-flop. Why not?
I mean, well, by their logic, absolutely.
Yeah, whatever you identify with at the time.
Yeah.
So that's why we have to have not bathrooms separate. We can't have the separate bathrooms. It's just got to be one bathroom. Everybody uses the same bathroom. That way you don't have to decide. And you don't have to tell people what you are. You just use the same bathroom. Everybody uses the same bathroom. Get over it.
I want to know if an African-American, or she's offended by that, a Black... is
African American.
If they identify with white, how's that going to be accepted in the liberal progressive community? Will they be totally fine with someone just abandoning the African American race and going and identifying with white because they want all of
We see that all the time, right? We see it all the time.
As soon as you, exactly. I mean, if you're not down with everything that they're doing, then you're a sellout. You're
right.
Uncle Tom.
We saw that with in Baltimore, right? Even the clip we have of Melissa Harris Perry talking about cisgendered and all and everything. Now, it was on her show, I think, where she called them white African Americans, the police officers in Baltimore. She was the one who said, because these cops are the ones that are in trouble,
right.
So they're not African American. Those are white African Americans.
Right. Their voice doesn't count.
Right.
Your voice only counts if you agree with the progressive liberal assessment of a particular situation. Then you're African American.
All right. We have got to get to a little bit more Rachel, and we've got to hear Melissa Harris Perry and her cisgendered, but we have to take a break, too. There's bills to pay on Pat and Stu, so we'll be back in a minute. Go ahead. Out of here.
Plus.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-630-6720. That's 800-630-6720.
Welcome back to Pat and Stu minus Pat and Stu. Appreciate it. We do have breaking news.
Mm-hmm. We found the picture of LeBron's.
Are we going to be able to air that? Because I was told we weren't going to be able to air LeBron's
junk
mistake that did air on national television. Don't know why it can't be aired here. That's all I'm saying.
And you're going to stick around to find out, or you've already Googled it, which is shame on you. Shame on you. You are a terrible person.
If you're looking at the same one I looked at, keep looking, because you can't see. If you can find the spot where you can see something, let me know where it's at. But Rachel Dolezal, the lady in Spokane, who said that she was black, or at least lived her life as she was black lady, was...
Except that whole time she was white.
Put up on a pedestal of being a black lady in the NAACP and was asked advice and flown around the country as a heralded for her NAACP advice to the country, except that she was white. And in a recent interview, Rachel considers herself black. Let's hear that.
Is it possible that maybe not Rachel, because I don't know what her whole story is.
Right.
We will see more of that. But is it possible that she might actually be black? And the best way that I know how to describe this,
no.
And I want to be very careful here, because I don't want to say that it is equivalent to the transgender experience, but there is a useful language in trans and cis, which is just to say some of us are born cisgendered, some of us are born transgendered, but I wonder, can it be that one would be cis black and trans black? That there is actually a different category of blackness that is about the achievement of blackness despite one's parentage. Is that possible?
It's absolutely possible. I mean,
why not?
I think
Melissa.
That one thing that she said that I found so fascinating was she said her identity is multi-layered and that her identity is very complicated and that she didn't expect for people to understand it easily. And I think what she's alluding to is this sort of, perhaps, and again, we don't know that much about the story. You know, we need to hear more from her and more of her personal story. But there certainly is a chance that she identifies as a black woman and that there could be authenticity to that.
So authenticity.
Yes.
Jeffy, now that I think about this... You know, I might be flip-flopping here now that I think about this. Because I think I, look, ever, especially coming down to Texas, I moved here a year ago, and I didn't quite realize it to the effect that I do now. But, man, I'm really digging the Mexican food down here. And I'm thinking, it's like triggering something in me where I'm like, gosh, I really identify with this. This is really good. And I'm thinking that maybe, and the hot weather, I like it down here. I'm thinking maybe I identify with the Mexican race. I think I'm a Mexican. That's just what I'm trying to say.
I'm okay with you being a Mexican, Dan.
You know? And so, I mean, I should go on Melissa Harris Perry's show or Melissa Hef Perry's show and maybe flesh this out a little
maybe
bit.
Maybe you can have what's-her-face. Who was the lady on?
I don't know, but that was some deep stuff.
It was very deep.
And what is cisgender, by the way? I think they talked about it earlier today, but I missed that.
Cisgender is when you identify with the gender that was given to you at birth. So when you're born and they say, it's a girl, you believe that you're a girl.
So that's pretty much everyone, almost everyone,
except for almost no one, okay?
I'm sorry. I didn't realize this was like... promoting this term, it seems like they're going to start pushing this agenda where you're going to have to... we're not going to tell you what you are when you're born. Like, it's a child. Congratulations. In 3 years, we will present this cisgender, transgender equation to you, and then you'll have to figure it out.
Most of the reports we have, you know, they're starting to question in kindergarten. So, and most of the people who have said that they have are... you know, either a boy or a girl, opposite of what they were given at birth, started realizing that at about 4. So about 4 is when we're going to ask, are you a boy or a girl? You choose. You don't get to. The nurses and doctors don't get to say what you are.
No, they don't get to say what you are. It's just what you feel. And the frustrating thing about this is that I have 3 kids, and they're 10, 6, and 4. Yes, but here's the thing. They're 6 and 4, because we tell them, so I guess it's just propaganda on our part.
Oh, my gosh.
Are evil propagandist parents. I'm seeing it now.
Cisgender.
My eyes have been opened. I'm totally, I am a hate monger bigot on this gender issue. But I think what people looked, like my mom said to me, my mom was in town and last week and she was visiting. We were talking about the Caitlyn Jenner thing. And she's like, look, you know, we have a friend, and their child is like, look, I like the dolls. And I'm like, you know what? My boys dressed like girls for 2
forever.
Weeks.
Forever, yes.
They were like, oh, look at this, Dad. This is funny. And, of course, they thought the more I told them not to, I'm like, yeah, you're a boy. Come on. And the more I did that, they thought it was funnier, and then they just kept doing it to torture me. But that went away.
Yeah, so, it was to torture him. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So you're saying that my son Jack and my son Samuel my point is I think we look too much into these things. Like, you can't look at what a 3-year-old is telling you and be like, oh my gosh, look at that. That's an insight into his soul. No, my boys right now think it's great to just pee in the lawn. Like, that's where they go to the bathroom. They just think it's, you know, because, you know, if they're swimming in the pool or whatever and they get out and we tell them not to go in, that the one time we allow that, now they just do it all the time. And they just drop trowel in the front yard. You can't do that. Like, they're not thinking rationally is what I'm saying.
What did you just say?
What?
You're not supposed to do that.
Do you still do this? Is this what you're...
It's my yard.
Well, there's a certain level of decorum we hope to achieve as humans, I realize that you don't strive for those same levels of decorum.
My two youngest kids, we never had a pool at the house when they were growing up, so they're not doing that. You know, they aren't used to that. My oldest son, we had a pool when he was a little kid, so it was that way. And for the longest time, he would... Listen, the other kids take care of it for you. We'd be outside playing in the front yard, and he would just have to pee, so he would just go over to the bush and drop his pants and pee. And pretty soon, the other kids are like, dude!
Come on.
Enough.
Put that thing away.
So, I mean, it pretty much takes care of itself.
Right, right. And I will admit that the trend started. I will, a little parenting fail here, I'll admit it. But out of my own laziness.
But in my other house,
like, we had a bigger yard than we do down here. There's a thing about the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Texas is a giant state, and they just jam the houses in, like, 1 inch from each other. It's ridiculous.
That sold the field wanted penny.
So, anyway, my old yard was bigger, and so they'd be playing in the back, and I just wouldn't want to run all the way back to the house and go and just go, and then it's just all been downhill from there. Now they don't understand anyway, my point in the whole thing is that you cannot trust the judgment of a 4-year-old.
Right.
Like, you just can't look at that and make that they're struggling with this. You're a parent. You need to teach them what sex they are. Like, that's...
Whoa.
And actually, you don't even have to teach it to them. They just get it.
Like, get it. And your point of the boys dressing like girls and girls dressing like boys and boys playing with army men and girls playing with Barbies, pretty soon... They work it out.
Yeah. And just think of how messed up the world's going to be when everything is up for interpretation. Like, there's just nothing that's just is. Like, 2 + 2 isn't 4 anymore. 2 + 2 is whatever, you know, whatever you feel like it is the correct answer. I mean, it's just going to be an insane world with 15 labels on the bathrooms. How many public bathrooms are we going to need at some point? I mean, there's going to be a whole, the handicap spaces now. It's like, I mean, how many, you know,
whoa.
I'm all good with the handicap spaces, but you don't need 27 of them. Especially, you know, by the time you're on the 27th one, what difference?
Plus, there's the best ones.
But, I'm going to get all kinds of hate mail today, aren't I? I'm pissing off everybody.
On top of which, we go back to, you're not going to have different bathrooms. It's just going to be one.
It's just going to be one.
Everybody goes into the same bathroom,
mm-hmm.
move on.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody goes, if you feel like you're a girl, use the stall. If you feel like you're a guy, go ahead and use the urinal.
Right.
I mean, that's just what it's going to come down to. Now, before
looking forward to this progressive utopia.
Oh,
I can't wait. Oh, man.
Before we break, we do have some breaking news, which I'm surprised about, because in an earlier article on Rachel Dolezal, it said NCAA, they didn't comment on this yet, the NAACP did.
Oh, they will.
One's racial identity is not a qualifying criteria or disqualifying standard for the NAACP leadership. So it sounds like, you know, hey, we're kind of on our side. Now, they for sure were on our side because they said in a statement, we stand behind Ms. Dolezal's advocacy record. So they couldn't say that they were against her because they were all for all the stuff that she was fighting for.
Doesn't matter that this is the typical progressive stance on things. The ends justify the means. Glenn said it a million times.
Absolutely.
Like, they don't care. As long as you're going for the same end goal that you're going for, they don't care how you do it. So even though this lady has been approved and her parents are calling her a lying sack of crap, and, you know, that she's whiter than white.
The parents just don't understand how she identifies as being black.
The parents, like, we're Czechoslovakian, for crying out loud. We are the farthest thing from black you can possibly be. But progressives do not care what what lies you tell. Like, and that should be the disturbing thing here, is that whatever she identifies as, who cares? But the fact is that she blatantly lies in some of these, you know, claims that she's making. And they're willing to give it a pass.
Absolutely, they're willing to give it a pass.
They're willing to give it a pass because of the end game is the same.
Which I thought was... we weren't going to hear until later today what was going to happen with Rachel.
She has announced that she has stepped down. She has stepped down from role. She had a big announcement she was going to make tonight, but now I think it's a coincidence. Is it a coincidence, Jeffy, that as we were just, you know, hashing this thing out, that now she felt the need to resign now? I think this was the last straw.
I think she just couldn't take the heat.
Were you guys tweeting out there or something? I mean, I don't know what was going on, but no, she stepped down.
You should have hung on. You shouldn't have listened to us. You should have hung on.
The chapter posted a statement on Facebook just about 15 minutes ago, and it says, it is with complete allegiance to the cause of racial and social justice. Those are some nice progressive buzzwords.
Yes, they are.
And the NAACP, that I step aside from the presidency and pass the baton.
Pass the baton.
She doesn't say that I made a mistake or anything. She just says this is the same thing Van Jones did. It's not, look, I got busted. I'm a liar. I'm a 9/11 truther communist, so therefore I'm going to step down because my views are crazy. No, it was, I've caused a distraction to the administration.
Yeah.
No, and that's what she's saying here, that, well, it's just going to be a distraction now. So for the good of the cause, I'm going to have to take one for the team. But don't worry about my lies or anything like that. But anyway, we will have more on this breaking news and the search for LeBron's jump picture continues.
Yeah, somebody has to find it for it. Welcome back. Welcome back to Pat and Stu minus Pat and Stu. So the big news, Rachel Dolezal. Rachel has been pretending that she's black for a long time now. In fact, she's part of the NAACP in Spokane, Washington. She's traveled the country. She's traveled the country fighting for African-American rights and helping the African-American community for a number of years now. And yet, she's white. She always was white. Once her parents found out, we don't have the clip, but the question from the one reporter, she had posted a picture of herself and a black man saying that that was her dad, and her dad was coming to town. And then she said, no, he didn't come. No, he didn't come. He did that. I'm sorry, he's not with me, he didn't come. And the one reporter was like, so is that your dad? Well, yes, I said it was. So you're black, you're African-American, and she actually ends up walking away because I don't understand the question. And she walks away and she hides. She leaves where she was being interviewed, leaves her purse, leaves her keys, walks away and hides in some boutique for a few hours. She knows she's had. That's when it all started falling apart for her.
Caught in a blatant lie. Now she's stepped down. Even though people, sad news. Even though from her position as chapter president of the Spokane, and now I'm saying it now, and NCAA, NAACP, and I'm reading through her statement here in which I don't see any sort of apology here at all.
Oh, she had to have said she's sorry for the. For the pain and suffering she brought on the NCAA and the NAACP.
It goes on and on and on. She talks about the social justice issues and blah, blah, blah. And yet the dialogue has... she's talking about all the good issues, the quote-unquote good issues that they're fighting for. And yet the dialogue has unexpectedly shifted internationally to my personal identity in the context of defining race and ethnicity. Blah, blah, blah. And then she just goes back into what I'm committed to and yada, yada, yada. She was caught making something up out of thin air. And no apologies for that whatsoever. Just, oh, man, we got to get, I'm a distraction now to this. I got news for you, Rachel. I mean, this story is, it's just ridiculous because you tried to defend it, but your lie. But nobody would care past 2 minutes on this thing if you would have just said, you know what, that's how I identify, whatever. I got a little carried away with it. My bad.
Right.
Just move on. Nobody would care if,
If she answered, so are you black? Yes. That's how I identify. That's why she made the fight of that earlier interview about it being cultural.
Right. But then
which was a good argument.
Right. But
for her.
Admit your mistake about lying about your dad and just say, look, my parents are white and I'm actually technically white, but I don't identify with that. It's an idiotic position to have and it flies in the face of reality, but go ahead, have that position.
And
nobody would care. It's the lie that's the problem.
The NAACP. Would
NCAA,
have been fine with it. Yeah, the NCAA probably would have been fine with it, too.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak for them.
Yeah. No, but I'm reading through this apology, and it's not apology, this resignation, and there is zero apology whatsoever. And again, that's just, that's what the progressive movement's all about, where it's just whatever, ends justify the mean.
Why would she step down is the question. I would hope that, listen, Rachel, if you're not doing anything, give us a call.
We have questions. Like, I want to know how long it takes her to do that hair in the morning. I mean, because she's trying to make it look...
Oh, that's a perm. That stays that way. That's good. You get a perm every two or three weeks.
So she did it once, and then it just stays that way for a while.
You just pick it out, you're good.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's this.
You never got a perm, Dan? Oh, wait.
Yeah, no, I don't have any hair. This is two of the finest looking men on television right now.
Oh, please.
The bald guy and the fat guy. Pat and Stu, fat and bald. I mean, that's it. I think we're onto something here.
Welcome to the Blaze Television Network.
That's some high quality stuff right there. But I don't know. I mean, I would like to see her back because it would be fun just to. It would be fun just to see. I was really looking forward to her statement at 7 to 9 p.m. tonight.
I'm disappointed that
would have been some gold right there.
I wonder what she, unless she stepped down and she's going to actually go for the, right, she was applying for the ombudsman's job, right, in the local area, which is what originally I think got her in trouble because she checked all the ethnicity. So if she still could go for that, right, and she can't, she could still fight for all the African-American rights.
So you're saying she's going on to bigger and better things.
I would if I were her. And in fact, I would say, yes, I still identify with being black, but now I'm able to, since it's out there, I was born white, I identify with being black, but I'm able to fight for both races now equally because I am both.
Maybe she'll be on the cover of the next cover of Vanity Fair. I mean, this could be. I mean, maybe she's seeing the Caitlyn Jenner thing, and she's just thinking, "This is it, this is it. I've nailed it. This is my spot right here. I've been persecuted. I got persecuted out of this job, and they ran me right out of town because of what I identify with."
I'm not opposed to that.
And so she's going to get the interview with Diane Sawyer.
I've never actually seen anything but a headshot. I mean, is she worthy of a Vanity Fair cover?
Oh, they could Photoshop that thing. You know, I mean, whatever she looks like, who cares? Photoshop that sucker right up. It's going to be great.
Okay.
But I think she should. I think she should do it. You know, the white German Czech woman who is black, who's really black. I mean, I think that Vanity Fair, this will be huge.
Oh,
this will be huge for them.
No problem. No problem. In fact, never mind. I'm not going to say that.
Because all the racism this poor white German has suffered.
Yes, it's bad.
It's bad, and she's filed several claims. Now they've looked into her claims, and they're actually investigating those, and they've put them on hold. Any claims of discrimination that she's put up, because guess what? You can't actually be discriminated against. You know.
I don't know if that's true or not. Why not?
Well, no. I mean, like she's saying that she's discriminated against because she's black, but she's
right.
Not.
But at the time, she identified with being black, and so did the people who were going up against her.
Right. See, and this
who
is
were
what
giving her the.
This is what the Vanity Fair article would do.
You.
This is what it
Why
would do.
Why not? That would still hold up.
Yeah, I mean the struggles that this poor woman faces. It all comes down to white privilege.
And it's almost proof that she wouldn't have had this problem if she'd have been white. I mean, her case holds up stronger than ever.
Do you see what I'm really confused now? So I'm trying to like think through this, and it's like now I don't know. Is she white, black? Is she suffering because of white privilege or her blackness? I don't understand. See, this is the progressive utopia we can look forward to, where we're all super confused about things, and you know, you can't just look at something in front of you. It's going to be whatever that person thinks, and so then you have to tread carefully. And I'm sorry. Are you? Hi, sir, ma'am. I'm sorry. I am so sorry to have judged you. Before knowing
Things
who you really are.
To.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm Pat and Stu. Without Pat and Stu, weird.
Yeah, fat and bald. And we'll be looking for that LeBron pick. We're still looking for it. If you've got it, go ahead and Google it.
I am looking for it.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Jeff,
see you a second. Welcome back to Pat and Stu. Mine is Pat and Stu. Now, Dan is going to start us off, but apparently when this camera shoots Dan, they don't like to see my computer screen, which I don't understand why. It's just women's breasts on the screen is all it is. Talking about how staring at breasts extends male life to 5 years. I'm looking at very important medical studies, but go ahead, Dan.
That's what Jeffy identifies with. He's a boob.
Go ahead.
But anyway, all right. So, yeah, I just wanted to, coming up this week, I know. Coming up this week, I want to talk at some point, I want to devote some time to MLM. If you're not familiar with MLM, you've probably encountered somebody who is deeply involved in MLM. And I'm like an MLM magnet right now. Like people on my Facebook and I just found out two of my neighbors are like these big MLM, like the creators, the ones who, you know, everybody fails in it. And they're the ones.
No, everyone does not fail.
Yes, they do. And we're going to get into this.
No, they do not.
But we're going to get into this. But Michelle Obama got just totally owned by a 14-year-old.
This girl is great stuff. Wearing her Ohio State sweatshirt owns Michelle Obama.
I'm not really sure if it's supposed to be the strawberries replacing the chocolate or the yogurt replacing the chocolate, so we're going to try both of those things. I don't think you're actually supposed to roast them, but hey, it's in place of a s'more, so that's what I'm doing. We're going to roast the strawberry first in place of the marshmallow. I've never roasted a strawberry before, so I don't really know how I'm supposed to know if it's roasted or not. So I roasted this strawberry, I think, and so we're gonna put that on the s'more. I guess I should take this thing off, right? I don't really know how to do that. So we're just gonna roll with it. Oh gosh.
You're gonna have to, oh. Good one.
Well, the thing doesn't hold it together. We don't have the marshmallow.
Wow, good idea, Michelle Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
This is just a great idea.
Yes, it is.
Hey, these are the stupid health suggestions they always tell us to do.
Well, I guess you just want your kids to be messier.
Eat another bite.
I don't want another bite.
Was it good?
I don't want another
one. That one, like, destroyed the graham cracker. So, that was terrible.
We're gonna do it the opposite way, though.
So, thank you, Obama, Michelle, for ruining yet another wonderful tasting thing so that you can make people less fat.
Thank you. And one of the things that that video didn't show is she actually did go to do the opposite way, where she tried to grill the yogurt.
Yeah, this was one of their suggestions. No, and it came out horrible both times.
Just unbelievable.
Let them eat cake for the love of Pete.
To the Pat and Stu Show, minus Pat and Stu with...
It's Fat and Dan here with you. That's what Twitter is calling us right now.
And, of course, Twitter is 100% right.
It's 100% right.
Now, hopefully Twitter is using the proper fat, PH.
No, actually it's not. It's fat with an F.
Those
the big
bastards.
Fat F
Those
right there.
Bastard yeah. Twitters.
So much hate on Twitter these days.
It's everywhere. Now, we talked a lot about a person identifying with another race in the first hour. Let's talk about a 16-year-old boy living as a boy that's a girl. With the help of the American Civil Liberties Union, a Virginia 16-year-old has filed a federal lawsuit against a school district demanding that he be allowed to use the boy's restroom, even though he was born a female.
I love that sentence before we go any further here. He was born a female. You just get the he in there. It just sits.
But what you don't understand, Dan, is that Gavin Grimm.
How dare God screw it up and just make him a man inside of a female? Wouldn't you, idiot God? How dare you just put a man right inside of a female body? Are you falling asleep on the wheel?
Actually, even Caitlin said that he didn't believe, he or she didn't believe God made mistakes. In his interview, in Bruce Jenner's original interview, he said that he didn't believe that God made mistakes. So this was just a struggle for him,
right?
Personally, right? So, but when you get diagnosed with gender dysphoria,
Which is another Jenna, these terms, it's so ridiculous.
So he's been looking.
But again, that's, I think I looked up that one, and it's the same thing. You don't identify with your assigned sex, whether the universe or whether it was the primordial goo
gender
that you
dysphoria,
came out of,
right.
You, or God, you, whatever sex you were assigned, which kind of leads me to believe that that is your sex, they don't agree with it. Or at least they feel like they don't agree with it. I mean, I can see that that's a legitimate feeling that you have. I totally get that. But where I depart ways is the acceptance to say, go ahead and mutilate yourself in order to...
I don't know. You know what? I read these stories, and I think that, too. I think that, too. But I personally know of a person...
Asking for a friend.
What's that?
You're talking for a friend here, right?
I personally know a person.
Yeah.
Who was born a girl.
Do we have a confessional thing here that we can put up for Jeffy?
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Who was born a girl and changed to a boy and then ended up going through the complete surgical transmission, transgendered move.
Everything's good now.
Happier than ever. And I tell you how difficult a struggle it was for her to, because for a while in the world, she lived as a man. And she was out in the world as a man, when you looked like a boy, dressed like a boy and everything. But in the workplace, still had to be the female.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a huge struggle.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not a huge struggle.
And then at the expense and the medication and the horror of the operation to become a boy. This is a long time. And now they are happier than ever.
Well,
I don't know.
Look, I got news for you. I don't think that whatever it was they're seeking, I don't think it, I mean, they may be saying they're happy and they might be happier, but I don't think in the long run that that's going to ever really be, you know, satisfied. And I don't know. I mean, like, I understand the feeling and like that some people are born that way with a feeling and they feel the opposite of what they are assigned. But it admits it right in the definition that you are assigned something. So I just don't think the way to handle that is to go ahead and mutilate yourself. It just doesn't seem like a logical thing to do. But I'm not going to judge people. I mean, they can do what they want to do. I'm not a denier. I'm just saying that you shouldn't go lopping off parts, you know, when things don't seem to add up inside. But that's just me. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to force you to do anything. But, you know, that's just the way I see it. And if you see it differently, then fantastic. Go ahead and start parts
now,
around.
Caitlin,
I hope it works out
Caitlin
for you.
Caitlin has not lopped off parts. Bruce has...
Didn't they?
No, Caitlin has not lopped off parts. And he said that in his original interview that he didn't know if he would or not.
So then he's basically just a cross-dresser at this point, right? That's just that's just openly taking on the persona of a woman.
Openly taking on the persona, and he's had medications to give him breasts. So he has on parts.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's the route I would advise exactly if it were my friend. But, I mean, I'm not in a position to sit there and judge or tell somebody else what they should do. So, I mean, go ahead and do what you want to do. It's one of those things that it's such a minority that I don't know. I feel like this push...
It doesn't feel like a minority, though.
See, this is the problem, I think. You know, the best and worst thing about the internet is that you can reach lots of people, but the worst thing about it is... and you can, you know, bring attention to certain issues, but the worst thing about it is the loudest people just get heard. And so the people who are pushing to normalize things that are completely not normal are usually the loudest ones on the internet. And so people now are afraid to speak opinions on things.
How often have we seen, even in our business of radio and television, when I have worked for people who have responded and went a little overboard, at least what I thought was overboard, responding to a phone call, maybe two phone calls.
I don't know who you could be talking about here.
And then, I mean, it's like, it's two phone calls.
Yeah.
There's not even close to the amount of people we have listening to this radio station. Lighten up!
Yeah. The problem I have here is that you can have your opinion and you can, you know, and that's great. And we can disagree. But what happens is it's not this arena of ideas and where we talk and we end up respecting one another. It's agree with this or else you are a horrible person. You are a hate monger. You're a bigot. If you don't agree with someone mutilating themselves and changing their sex just because they feel like it and you don't think that's a good idea and you would advise your kids to do it, then you're bad.
Yeah,
you
you're
have
bad.
To accept it. We have to find some sort of space where we can just agree to disagree and make your case and say, look, I don't think you should do it. Here's why. And but if you don't tell your children that you don't do it. My son came to me yesterday and said, hey, Dad, can you turn me into a woman? I was like, go for it, dude. You're four, man. You make your own choices. So
well, you better not tell your kids that you're against it. I'll tell you that.
Well, I'd be labeled a hate monger if I do. I mean, that's just the way it is on the Internet now. It's just, oh, gosh, it's torture. I mean, I can't even read the comments. I can't even bring myself to read the comments section of any of articles these days. It's just too painful.
So our boy in Virginia, I wonder, it says here that he has to use the unisex bathroom in the nurse's office. I just want to use the restroom in peace.
Oh, man.
In an ACLU press release obtained by, since the school board passed this policy, I feel singled out and humiliated every time I need to use the bathroom. Why?
The struggle is real. Jeffy, the struggle is real. You got to go use the unit. First of all, you've got to go use the unisex bathroom, which already exists. Just go in there and. And by the way, I mean, is this person in high school? This person's in high school.
Yes.
Right? Who frequented a bathroom often in high school? I did everything I could to never go in that place ever, ever. It was the grossest place in all of human history. High school bathrooms should be condemned.
And, wow, what do you have against high school janitors? They do a tough
job. It's not the janitor's
job.
Fault. I mean, like, look, okay. The janitor did all he could. But, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just not a pleasant place. And I realize you got to go sometimes. But, I mean, I just avoided that thing at all costs. But, I mean, maybe I'm the only one. Maybe our bathroom was the only one that was condemned.
Well,
I mean, I don't know.
I was just, now that you say that, I'm trying to remember, but. Back when I was in school in 1820.
Oh, my gosh.
We played sports, Dan. Men played sports. And we used to
the women did home ec.
And that's the way it was.
That's the way it was.
That's the way it was. When we wanted to go to the bathroom or take a shower, we all did it at the same damn time. Right there in the sports locker room, okay? You find out how much of a man you are then, I'll tell you that. Anyway, speaking of LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
oh, hey.
Do we have that yet? By the way, the LeBron video? No? Okay.
Fine. America's waiting for that. They're just...
Whatever. And we have Boston now, right? Boston City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Gender-neutral bathrooms, just what we talked about before. That's what's going to happen. It's just going to have to be everybody goes to the same bathroom.
Everyone goes to the same bathroom. Just put a trough in there and just...
No, troughs are bad.
They're bad?
Troughs are bad. You got to have stalls.
Got to have stalls.
Yeah, you can't have troughs.
Well, that was the thing about troughs our bathrooms didn't have the... Like, there was zero... You know, there weren't stalls, and so, you know, it was this awkward thing that, you know, high school teenagers shouldn't
have
chucked
into. Didn't have any stalls? Or they had stalls without doors? Because I remember
having
our high school had stalls without doors.
I wasn't in there that much, so I don't specifically remember it exactly. But I remember even after, like, basketball games and practices and stuff, like, nobody would shower there. They would just go home. Throw on your sweats and shower at home. Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow.
They wouldn't do it. You just put on your sweats.
Homophobes. Okay. All right, whatever. Wherever you grew up.
It just seemed like a disease-ridden place. I mean, it was just stuff all over the place. It just wasn't a place you wanted to be. Maybe I'm all alone in this. I don't know, but I guess so.
That's great.
They could have created
their
own.
You know, when Tiger Stadium was the original Tiger Stadium, when I was a real wee little pup that my grandpa took me to, they still had troughs in the men's bathroom. That's no fun. I'm well against troughs in bathrooms.
These are the sorts of struggles that we've had here.
That's why I'm firmly 100% against troughs in bathrooms. Okay, you should have stalls for everyone. I'm for stalls for everyone. I should run on that platform. Stalls for everyone.
But look at the reaction, too, though. It's like they immediately, that fear strikes in, and that's what we're talking about here on the Internet. They just, it goes into not a logical conversation on things. It's
right.
You're so afraid to offend and be labeled a hate monger, you just know that backlash is coming. So immediately, this is, you know, the guy says, you know, Boston thrives on diversity. It's an inclusive city. This change will foster a safe and welcoming environment for employees and visitors.
It didn't already?
Oh, my gosh.
It didn't already. It was not a welcoming place for your inclusive city.
Think of the hoops. Stop it. Think of the hoops people are jumping through right now to be offended, to find things to be offended for. Are you really offended that there's a unisex bathroom that you have to go to? I mean, come on. You're cross-dressing as a... You've got enough issues going on. The bathroom you choose is the least of your concerns
at
this point.
And to be honest, you ought to feel pretty lucky that we're actually providing you that one. Seriously, we're providing you one. Otherwise, it'd be like, no. You're a boy, go to the boys. Move on.
Yeah.
But I feel like a girl. Okay, go to the girls. Shut up.
Now, that was the old hateful days, Jeffy. That was back in the old school days when men were men.
And when you think about what you...
We walked to school barefoot.
The people...
On broken glass roads, and we liked it.
We didn't learn a damn thing. The lengths that people go to be offended. And the lengths that people go to actually not only offended, but horrified and have to make a lawsuit out of everything.
Oh,
I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's a perpetual outrage.
A week or so ago on the radio show, I think it was a radio show, we talked about what you don't hear anymore. And you don't hear, that's a free country, go ahead. Somebody says, yeah, did you hear what Billy did? Billy did this. Ah, it's a free country, who cares? Now, seriously, replace that with, man, he's lucky he didn't get arrested. Or, is that still legal? Can you still, that's where we're at.
Yeah,
that's bad enough.
Yeah, and basically virtual floggings on the internet. You get labeled. If you ever get yourself in the lens of the tolerant, you know, progressive left, then forget about it. I mean, you're done. I mean, you are done.
Now, before we get to our disc jockey, because I do want to talk about our disc jockey that won't play at a gay man's birthday party, and I do want to also talk to you about. The opportunity that we have for you to become financially secure and successful and safe and have your family taken care of for years to come in my multi-level marketing plan.
No,
but we're going to...
This is going to be good.
Break first. and then we'll get to those two stories just for you. Bye, Whitney. Yes, welcome back to Pat and Stu minus Pat and Stu with,
I'm Dan Andros, the head writer of the Glenn Beck television program. And they're calling us Fat and Dan on Twitter, Jeffy, and I don't know how you feel about that.
Are they?
Okay, maybe there's a couple. I mean, it's not like...
Are they?
It's not like it's trending. Yes, they. That's what the thing reporters always do. I love that. They're like, you know, a lot of people are saying you are a flaming jerk. How do you feel about that? Like, I think you're a flaming jerk. Let's just say it.
No, but it says right here in a tweet that someone favorited that I tweeted.
They're saying it. You know, they're out
there. It's out there.
They're saying that.
Before we get to DJ.
Yes.
Go ahead. Now, we are going to talk a little bit about your hatred for multi-level marketing plans.
Yes.
That are out there to help people become financially successful and secure with their lives and their families for the future.
That's one way to spin it, and that sounds an awful lot like the guys at the top who spin it, but it's actually preying, if you want to call preying on someone's hopes and dreams and financial distress that you give them false promises of financial security, then you get rich off of that, then
it's not
more power to you. But we wanted you to email your MLMs. I would love to hear the MLM success stories, not the people who actually create the MLM itself and then rip everyone off, but I want to hear someone who started at the bottom, and got their downline so big that they are just in Miami, just living it up right now. So email those.
Just email.
Email
it to Jeffy, J-E-F-F-Y, at glennbeck.com.
Right. Right.
Jeffy at glennbeck.com.
And then Jeffy will send you the promotional packet to get you started on your own business right away. And you'll have people working under you in no time. And you will be on your way to financial freedom. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because I am getting inundated, a couple people on my Facebook feed, with this one particular product called, I'll call this one out, Nerium. And I have no idea if it's good or works or not. But it's they have that cult kind of thing going on where it's like, you've got to get in on this now. You're missing out. It's incredible. Look at this guy's got a Lexus. It's unbelievable. And
Nerium?
Yes. It's some sort of facial cream or something. I don't know. It's whatever. But to see, it doesn't even matter. The product doesn't even matter because the product is just a vehicle for you to get more people to sign up. And that's where they make the money, just getting more people to sign up. So I want you to email Jeffy at glennbeck.com your MLM success story, or more likely your MLM failure story. And actually, Stu and I, I don't know if anyone, probably nobody knows this, but Stu and I grew up together. We were very close friends in our childhood. And at one point, we attempted one of the original MLM scams. One day, Stu calls me up and is like, you ready to try this? And I pulled the trigger.
That's where you're mistaken. Oh,
let's save it. We're going to have this guy.
You are
an evil human being. And that is, of course, why you don't think it's a scam.
Multi-level marketing, and
it's terrible.
And
it's
I know several people, including a family member, who has made a fortune.
Because they started it.
And I've been shown how to
grip people off.
create an income that would be very good.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is why I'll tell you, and we'll talk. We can go into depth on it, but we'll save it.
Yes, I want to hear the stories. I want to hear from you. I want to hear anyone who's ever actually succeeded. We had an old joke in the old office we were back in Philly. Because there was an MLM outfit down there, and they were bringing in the new recruits every week, and it was just, you felt so, you just wanted to, you'd see them walking off, and it was like watching a,
possibilities of creating a life that you've always wanted.
It's like watching the herd go off to
work. You have to be able to work hard and focus.
It's your fault if you don't make it. But it's like watching the herd going off to the slaughter, and I want to reach out and just hold them and be like, don't do it. It's going to be okay. You can get a real job where they actually pay you. It's amazing. But anyway, email those into Jeffy at glennbeck.com. I know you don't know what it's like to have a job where they actually pay you, but.
Good point. I should go back to the MLM.
We fixed the glitch on you a long time ago here. Anyway, let's go to this Christian disc jockey who is declining to, he's in trouble now because he declined to play a gay man's birthday party.
Just so.
And by the way, Blaze, come on. I think Apelka did this. Come on, Apelka, with your headline. Here's what happened next. I get the catchy headlines, but I thought we moved on past the here's what happened next one. I thought that one was like so
shocked.
January.
Kristen disc jockey outfit.
Shocked is okay. I still use shocked in the ones I write, but because sometimes things are shocking. But the here's what happened next thing, that should be banned from internet headlines. Apelka,
I put
you on warning. If that was you, I don't know if that was you or not. But anyway, I have no idea how to say this, guys.
I don't care if it was or not. Apelka, you're on warning. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
All right. So how do you say this dude's name or chick's name? I don't even know anything about
Danny Sakunis
wanted to help her brother. Oh, she. Danny. Her brother Tom throw a birthday party for his 60-year-old housemate. So she phoned up Ultrasound DJs in Maryland to see if the outfit could provide the music.
Ultrasound, can I help you?
That's a ultrasound. It's kind of a. My wife's pregnant right now, and we've been going. It's just not. That's not really the connotation
you
want.
That's right. You're having another kid, aren't you?
Oh, my gosh.
Crap.
It's a Travis Shan mockery.
Like
it really is. Yeah, four going. It feels more like 104.
Yeah, after you break two, man.
Especially with boys. I mean, when you have the girls sit there and they color and it's great. You can leave them alone for like 6 hours, and the boys come along and it's just like they're climbing on stuff, breaking everything, and it's just. It's a nightmare. It's great, but it's a nightmare at the same time. You know what I'm talking about.
You need to make sure that your boys turn into girls then. So they just sit there and play with their little toys by themselves.
Of course, that won't work. But anyway, there's no stopping the, need to destroy everything in the house. I've given up. I've actually given up. I've completely given up. I stopped cleaning the carpets.
It was just a couch today?
You know,
we're good.
The yard is destroyed. They're digging in the front lawn every day. It's just like, stop digging. Just stop it. But they keep doing it. So I just let them dig.
Give them like an area to dig and an area not to dig.
And my stupid neighborhood has an HOA, by the way, which they're so annoying. They have this thing that I was cracking up. They sent out a newsletter and it was like, hey, congratulations to so-and-so who got the yard of the month.
I'm guessing it wasn't you.
No, it wasn't me. I ain't ever went in that yard of the month. Not while I got a 6-year-old and 4-year-old boy with shovels in the front yard every day. That's
perhaps
just never happening.
Play in the backyard.
But that's the kind of elitist neighborhood I live in. It's fantastic.
Boy, no kidding.
Anyway, I got a good laugh out of that. But all right, so let's back to this ultrasound DJs guy.
Ultrasound DJs, may I help you?
During the phone call, it came up that Tom's housemate was past what? Past partner of his, and that was a past partner of his, and Sakunas, 46, is married to another man.
Oh, we're not going to be able to do that.
And all three live together. Wow, we got polygamy going on. We've got all kinds of exciting action.
We're not going to be able to do this little party for you.
Ooh, so
thanks
sorry.
Thanks for calling ultrasound, but we appreciate it.
Right.
We can't do it for you.
So they actually said the co-owner, Michael Lampiris, says I won't be able to do it. We're a Christian organization, and it would go against our faith. I'm sorry, he recalled and hung up. And then he goes on to say that we don't want to go against laws, but we also sometimes are called to do that if it goes against your faith.
Huh.
To me, it would be like a synagogue having to cater to a neo-Nazi party. Oh, no, here's where the analogies fall apart. And a black DJ having to do a KKK dance.
Why does that analogy fall apart?
Well, it falls apart because they go right to immediately the worst human beings of all society.
Oh, okay.
And so you can't just say because someone's gay, they're the equivalent of a KKK member or a Nazi. It's just not a fair comparison. But I don't know. I mean, look, I'm a Christian and, you know, I don't see how hosting someone's birthday party is really a big deal. I understand. Look, it's his business. He should be able to do whatever the hell he wants to do.
Right.
I mean, if you want to deny services to Wiccans or whoever the hell else you want to deny services to.
You're not going
to
get those days back, though.
Yeah.
The days of no shirt, no shoes, no service. Those days are long gone.
Yeah. You know, I mean, to me, like the people that are, you know, going specifically in on marriage, like the bakers and everything, and they're specifically having to endorse marriage in a way that they don't agree with it, to me is different than just celebrating someone's birthday. You know, I just don't see the equivalence there because, you know, as a Christian, it's not like you're supposed to just avoid gay people and just never do business with them and never talk to them.
What happens if
a lesbian just walks
by? What happens if you're at a party like that and a lesbian walks by? You can't do the party then.
You got to shut it down. Just shut it. Oh, the lesbian came in. Just shut it down. Turn off the lights.
Hopefully, ultrasound DJ system has a lesbian detector. Set up so when they start doing a party and a lesbian walks in, whoo, 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 and the lights start going off, and then they do have to just shut it down. This is ultrasound. We have to shut it down. There's a lesbian in here.
I mean, by his logic, I mean, can he play any music like that is done by an artist who, you know, is gay? Or, you know, I mean, what is this guy limiting himself to?
Well, we found out earlier today, which I didn't know during the radio show, some other things that he is against and wouldn't do a party for. I don't even know how the guy's in business.
Here it says it. He goes, it was founded in the 1980s with his brother. They have a written company policy stating, we will not be involved in any event involving homosexual celebration or activity.
That's,
See,
we
that's
wrote that
not,
down. We wrote it down. We got it on a post-it note, and it's sticking right over my desk.
We follow biblical morality. Well, that's fantastic, but how does that? I don't understand. Like, you cannot ever celebrate with a gay person on anything.
No,
I mean, you know.
The
so
Lord
what if
said.
Someone? So what if someone? Let me ask this guy this. What if this person who struggles with same-sex attraction? What if they come to faith and say, "Hey, you know what? I want to be a Christian now, and yes, for whatever reason, I was made this way to, you know, sexually desire the same sex, but I'm going to try to abstain from. Do you not celebrate in that baptism of faith?
We can't do that either.
Because he doesn't, because it says here, I think, we don't, you know, we don't, where was it? We don't get involved in any event involving homosexual celebration or activity. No, none of the homo activity. No homo hashtag. I mean, come on. I mean, it's a little over the top. And
I don't care if you act on it or not. You still a homo.
Like, I understand
that's
the marriage
pretty much
thing,
where he's at.
But yeah, that's pretty much where he's at. And it's I think
and
it's over the top.
He said tarot card readers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And magicians, yeah. Right?
Yes, he goes on to say, oh, gosh, darn it, where the heck is it?
I mean, it was unbelievable how many things he wouldn't do his little DJ service.
Here we go. The company policy also states that they are a family-friendly firm and won't play vulgar music.
Tolerate, yeah, there you go. There's your answer to that.
Tolerate provocative dancing. Now, can you imagine this guy trying to... This is the ultrasound guy. So, you know, he's probably playing some, you know, thumping music going
ultrasound
on.
Ultrasound like, DJ. But, get your butts away from each other.
How do you police the provocative dancing?
Whoa, excuse me, ma'am, you are shaking that booty a little too much. Please tame it down. Tame it down. Thank you very much.
I mean, those of you that are planning on dancing with the opposite sex and letting your breasts touch them, back off. Back off.
You know what? Just forget it, everyone. Stand against the wall. Stand against the wall. Girls over there, boys over there, transgenders over there.
Wait, there's transgendered here? I'm going home.
I mean, he's limiting his playing field. But he also says that they won't be involved with strippers, fortune tellers, psychics, or magicians. I think he's eliminated about 80% of society.
How is he in business?
I don't know.
I seriously don't know how he is in business. Those are the... Never mind. Ultrasound needs to rethink his business plan, I think.
So, but judging by the comments on the Blaze, they're all on the side of this DJ.
Well, of course they
look,
are.
Look, I mean, I see the... Look. That ship has sailed. Look, if you're all into the First Amendment, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, it's long gone. Those days are over. You're not getting them back.
No, we're living in progressive utopia land, and it's conform or else.
Yes, you should be able to say, no, I'm not going to serve you. And then, oh my gosh, I think capitalism would work itself out.
Capitalism would work itself out.
No, you wouldn't be able to be in business.
Right.
So you'd be out of business. Move on.
Right.
Hey, aren't you the ultrasound guy? Right. Yeah, I don't do that anymore. I'm here wiping up bathrooms in the high school. Man, these toilets are crappy.
Well, look, and then what happens is, like, if this guy would just conform, and so I can see the other side of the argument where you can't just conform to everything. Be open to what you are, regardless of what your belief is, because then all of your cards are open. There, everyone knows who you are, because if you just conform, which is what most people are doing now. They don't, we're a diverse city. Oh, no, don't call us a hate monger. Then everyone's real feelings on things are just bottled up, and they're just waiting to explode out at a horrible, inopportune moment.
And when it explodes, it's going to be ugly.
Yeah.
It's going to be real ugly.
It is going to be ugly.
I'll tell you what's not going to be ugly, and that's how you can become financially independent and make your family healthy, wealthy, and wise for the rest of your life with this multi-level marketing plan that I'm going to tell you about right after this.
Oh, man. All you have to do is sign up and give Jeffy money. Give him money, and then you, too, will learn how to be rich.
Email me, jeffyglenbeck.com, success stories, MLM. Stu minus Pat and Stu. Weird.
And you've got Fat and Dan, which is what Twitter has dubbed it. Look, you got to come up with a name for these shows, and Twitter has spoken, and we are Fat and Dan. That is.
Thank you, Twitter.
That is what has happened.
I love
yes.
you. You can so. At Jeffy MRA, not Fat and Dan. Okay. Now, this weekend, I went and saw a bunch of websites other than the ones you're thinking of,
yes.
Dan, because I saw those as well. But I did see a bunch of technology websites, and they are some really, really cool stuff headed your way. And this particular one I love for more ways than one, but check this helmet out.
I love the dramatics in this, by the way. Like you would think, you know.
We Look, believe that the technology should be seamless, and it should give you more from the experiences you love. Our technology fundamentally enhances human capability.
Oh my God! He's right.
Think about that, would you? Look at that.
So what we have here is a motorcycle helmet with a heads-up display. Now,
That is really cool.
Call from Sarah. Now, left in 20 miles.
Can we pause it? Can we pause it for a second?
Well, Sarah's on the line.
Can we just... Look, I am all for new technologies. I'm all for making things easier. But when a guy is going down a mountain on a motorcycle, on a crotch rocket,
he's going 53 miles an hour.
I don't want to take a call from Sarah. I just don't want to, or whatever her name was.
He didn't accept the call. He just knows that Sarah called.
Why? Like, they're making laws that I can't even be on my phone when I'm talking while driving my car, but yet you're going to have a helmet that's giving you phone calls while you're rolling down the road on a motorcycle?
Well, you're still looking at the road, though, with your cell phone. You're taking your eyes off the road. You're goofing around.
Sarah's not going to be Snapchatting, you know, pictures onto your screen or whatever she's doing. And
oh my God, that helmet could do that. I'm even more of a fan. We can continue this.
Yeah, roll it. Yeah, let's see if Sarah starts Snapchatting here.
Call from Sarah.
No, Sarah, stop.
Where's
calling.
The Snapchat?
I'm on a mountain road. Stop calling me, Sarah.
No, there's no Snapchat. Sarah's very distant.
So it's got a rear view mirror. So there's got to be other information in this thing. Like, it's not just a rearview mirror. And I would always be looking in the rearview mirror. That would be the problem. And then I would be looking at the road in front of me.
It's just a new evolution of story.
That is really cool. Now, the thing that I have, and we have the second part of this. First of all, I have been a believer in using helmets like this for any virtual reality stuff. All the new companies that show you the virtual reality mask that suck onto your face.
So you want us
walking? Look like a fool with those stupid things on. But everyone should have one of those. You could just walk around with that for life.
Gosh, see, I do
with the
not...
space helmet. I'm telling you, just wear the helmet.
Look, I think I eject myself from society the day everyone's walking around with helmets on and looking at a screen instead of what is right in front of
you. You are looking at what's right in front of you, but you also have all this other information. Let's look at the second video from Scully.
Oh, good gosh!
And think of it as an everything helmet. Not just a motorcycle helmet.
That's not
tomorrow.
By the way,
it really, really does. It feels like tomorrow.
You've taken all the electronics out of the high-tech cars and just put it right here.
Honestly, Rusty says
it's going to change everything.
When you put on a Scully helmet, you get an essentially an ecosystem.
As soon as you turn it,
I don't want an ecosystem on my head.
Yeah, then suddenly you get a level of innovation that you had never thought about before.
Being a professional motorcycle racer takes a lot of fun away from riding on the street. But this could make it fun again.
Now I can
it
play Tetris while I ride.
With its high-speed microprocessor and operating system, it's the smartest motorcycle helmet ever imagined. Scully is the future.
Now, this guy.
Yeah, well, he's got money.
Join the revolution.
Listen to him. I mean, he's got like a hypnotist thing going on. Join the revolution. Buy my damn helmet.
Well, that's because you can pre-order them, but they're not on the market yet.
Did you see? It's serious?
They're not on the market yet, and they were supposed to be on the market, now.
Oh.
And there's been pushed back to the end of this year, which they may end up being pushed back a little bit later. I don't know that, though, but they are. You can pre-order them, so he's, you know, taking your money and investing it in creating.
Do you ride motorcycles? Or do you have a motorcycle?
Oh, you can't get me off. I've got to...
Look, I realize you have the kind of the bear on a bike syndrome here, but you know.
How do you get the big
Harley? Huh? I don't know if the big Harley's going to solve that issue for you, but I mean, you're more than welcome to try it. I mean, they make large bikes. But let's go through some of these. Let's go through some of the features on this helmet.
The bike doesn't look as small if you have a sidecar. So I just have the sidecar. The sidecar is on the side. That's where you put the groceries and stuff. But you look better on it.
Maybe we need to get a picture.
That's what the salesman told me.
Photoshop. Someone, internet needs to happen. Jeffy on a motorcycle. All right, so let's go through. I haven't looked at these yet. Let's see what the features are on this thing. They got a 180-degree blind spot camera.
Nice.
That part I think seems okay. Conventional mirrors show you a thin slice of reality, blah, blah, blah. Blind spot camera shows everything that happened around you. Heads-up display. Here's where I think we run into some problems. Transparent HUD projects a focused display that appears floating in front right view.
Yeah, so it's just right here.
But what does it have on it, though?
Poof.
Like your speed and all that jazz?
Right.
Situational awareness, full situational awareness with GPS navigation and live blind spot camera view.
So you get the live blind spot camera view.
I don't want
you get the speedometer up in that top corner it showed, right? So you're looking at the, in your rear view, you're looking at the speedometer. So at the time that you glance at the speedometer, you are getting a
but you still,
hit of what's behind you. You drive like that
you
all the time.
You still have to look, like, I don't know. Like, you're going to see things moving around in your screen. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's just not going to be, you know. As a motorcycle rider, you know about how fast you're going just from the gears that you're in, right? Like, you know about how fast you're going.
That's what I tried to tell the cop when he said I was going, yeah, I was really only going 55. It felt like it, officer. Yeah.
I was at 8,000 RPMs in fifth gear. There's no way I was going 180, maybe 160 tops. But, okay, let's see. Safety, blah, 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 chin strap, connectivity, fully connected with Bluetooth, internet via smartphone and automatic, blah, blah, blah.
Right, so you have your phone hooked up to it, so you get the phone. And
that's not good.
Update. Oh, what? Because they're already
Sarah's calling you and Snapchatting pics of her doing whatever.
Well, first of all, we saw that Sarah did not Snapchat. LeBron's in the video.
You got your Twitter feed, and LeBron's tweeting out his, you know, LeBron penis pics, and, you know, it's not a good thing for someone on a motorcycle.
Hopefully,
I just don't see this ending
the time
well.
That you would get the tweet, boop. LeBron, penis pick, you'd pull over.
Let's see.
But my point with this is, not so much the motorcycle helmet, it should be, those are the virtual reality helmets. When they talk about the new virtual reality and they talk about the gloves, we've got the glove one here. Look at let's see the glove one, and then think of the glove one, all right, with the motorcycle helmet, not with that god-awful Viewmaster thing stuck on your face.
Okay, let's see the glove.
That's not the
case. Dream about touching the untouchable.
I love the ads.
You know this is going to end up in porn. I mean, this isn't like...
Well, it already is. See, look, there's the Viewmaster stuck on your head.
Feel
that's,
with your fingers,
no,
marvels.
You need the helmet.
I don't want that society. I just don't.
Come on. You wouldn't rather wear a helmet than that thing?
Recover from your sensations.
They make the world look so bright and happy with your head mask goggles on. I mean...
Stop it with the goggles, with the Viewmaster.
There's a window behind you, dude.
He's thinking real life sucks.
Rediscover the world of touch.
That's just not going to be...
See? Those are really cool, and I love those.
What did the glove do in that video? I mean, I saw the other video of the glove where he was moving like this, and like it was just by him moving,
yeah,
it was
so
moving the
move,
things on the
yeah,
screen.
That's a different glove than this, although I think they're pretty close. They're all working on about the same thing. One of the things that they're starting to work on, too, that is I love is that when you're in virtual reality, you're not able to see real life. Right, so if you're thirsty or you've got drinks on the tables or whatever, you've got to take the mask off or shut it down or whatever. So now they're having it so that you can have, shh, okay, real life is here. And then I can go, shh, and I'm back to virtual reality.
That is a frightening, I think it's a frightening prospect. I mean, the lazy side of me understands, like, okay, I can see some of the things. Like, I won't have to get up to just go, you know, whatever, see what's, you know, I can't walk 4 feet to my computer and type something in. I can just say it or whatever. So I see that there would be something. But, like, come on. Come on. You got to just go walk out into a field. Go, you know, go look out your window. I mean, why do you need to have a helmet on the whole time?
I don't have a weed field outside my window.
Take a drive in your car with your smart helmet on. I don't know. I don't know. When the day people are walking around with goggles and helmets on as they're just walking around in their own little virtual reality, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm going to go find the cornfield that nobody has bothered yet. That is where I will live.
Really? I don't think so. I think you'll be joining the helmet because your kids will be walking around with the helmet on.
No, my
your
kids
are going to be walking around with the helmet on, and they're going to go, "Dad, you want to talk to us? Put on the helmet."
No,
that's it. Time to break.
My kids may,
we're done. No more, Dad. Your kids are going to be doing it.
My kids
that's
may.
It. You don't have any say.
My kids may be peeing in the yard on their own right now, but I will not let them wear a helmet. That is where I draw the line.
They can pee in the yard, but they can't
wear
it. We should have broke. Well, he shouldn't have said that. We're breaking. This no. This is Patents 2 without Patents 2. We're breaking. I don't want to hear it. Your kids are wearing a helmet. And they will
make
you wear a helmet.
It is not happening.
We love to talk to you, Dad, but you got to wear a helmet.
It doesn't matter. The world will end when we're all in a helmet. It's all over at that point.
We sent you one for Christmas. Put it on. Okay, welcome back to Pat and Stu minus Pat and Stu. Now, don't forget, you can email me, Jeffy, at glenbeck.com, J-E-F-F-Y, at glenbeck.com, and you can tell us your success story at multi-level marketing.
I want to hear it. I want to hear it, because we're going to talk. I'm going to go in-depth a little bit tomorrow on the MLM scams.
Oh, I'll go in-depth on how you become financially successful and have your family taken care of forever.
Yeah, and we're going to hear. I mean, the emails are going to pour in of all these success stories from MLM have just made it, and they've made it huge, and they've got a downline of about 3,000 people, as promised. It was just that easy, because they knew five, and then they knew five, and then before they knew what they
really
were making.
Need, first of all you really need in your downline, I'll tell you how.
No. Yeah. Okay. Tomorrow, but email your stories, good or bad. We'll see what happens. We'll see who wins. But
if you have the work ethic and the determination. And
So it's your fault if you fail. I got it. So this motorcycle we were just talking about. Everyone else seems to think it's a good idea. I seem to be alone. I seem to be just hacking everyone off today. But I was going to say the other problem with this helmet is that at least around here, nobody seems to wear the helmets.
Right.
I saw two kids on bikes like that guy had in that video just the other day, and they blew by me going about 70 in a 45, and went right by a cop.
What do they got? They got a baseball cap.
I even slowed down so I could let the cop could go out and chase him or whatever, and he just like, forget it. He just sat there, and I looked back, and he was just like, man.
He's not going to catch him, and he probably can't chase him. You know, there's no pursuit. If it's too long, his police department isn't going to let him pursue them. He can't be chasing cars.
I mean, maybe he called ahead. Maybe threw out some tire strips or something. I don't know, but I don't know. I don't like the idea of putting more things in front of a motorcycle driver's face.
Okay,
I just don't like that general concept.
Let's take aside my point of no motorcycle helmet, but it is just the virtual reality helmet.
So you want to wait? So you're envisioning a world where people are wearing motorcycle helmets, helmet?
Wouldn't you rather wear that than having that Viewmaster sucks into your face?
I would rather have nothing. I don't want my kids to just like, you know, they're teenagers and they're like taking the mask off and they're like, oh my gosh, whoa, where am I?
It was way too late for that, Dan, because that is happening.
I have a strategy, by the way. Tell me if this is a horrible parenting strategy, like, and maybe I'm delusional, but I'm trying to set up to my kids that if they want to be cool and they want to be original, just don't bother with the technology stuff. Everyone else has got that stuff. You want to be unique and you want to be original? Make somebody call you on the landline.
Make somebody get you
the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
You know? You don't need a phone. That's ridiculous.
Listen, if you want to be
different. It's not going to work?
If you want to be different in today's world, become Amish. Become Amish.
Hey,
things with your hands.
Looking like a better option. More and more every day.
Actually, very well could be. See you tomorrow.
You're sick freaks.
Stu, without. Yeah.